Genesis chapter number 24. Sure was a blessing to get to hear my daughter testify. She ain't going to mind me saying this. She'll tell you herself. She's about as backwards as they come. She's quiet. She don't never say nothing. But thank God. Boy, that's music to my ears. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter number 24. Bible said in verse number 1, Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, and he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and swore to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and departed, for all the goods of his master was in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And when he made his camels to kneel down without the city wall, without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher under her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. Father, we love you this evening. Thank you, Lord, for what you've already done in our midst tonight, Lord. I sure do appreciate your goodness, Lord, and your mercy upon us. And I pray, oh Lord, for the next few minutes, Lord, that you continue to move in our midst. Help us, Lord, as we stand this evening. I sure do need your touch. I pray, God, you'd touch us physically. But greater than that, I need your touch spiritually. Whatever you do now, Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you and we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' precious name we pray and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Here we find in Genesis chapter number 24 that Abraham calls
calls for the eldest servant of his house. His eldest servant of his house comes in and he gives him a mission. He said, I want you to go and find a bride for my son Isaac. Amen. And you heard the details of the story. The eldest servant of Abraham's house then leaves. He takes 10 camels of the camels of his master. And the Bible said all the goods of his master was in his hand. He leaves and he goes down to Mesopotamia. And you heard the prayer that he prayed. And God answered his prayer that he prayed when Rebekah came out at the evening time to draw water. And you know the story, how that she let down her pitcher and she gave the eldest servant a drink and then offered also water all of his camels. I don't have time to read the rest of the story, but let me make it very briefly and just tell you what happened. They go from the well there and they go to her house and they invite the eldest servant in and he comes in and they offer him a meal. And he said, before I can do any of that, he said, I need to tell you why I'm here. Amen. And he told the story how the master, Father Abraham, had sent him down yonder to find a bride for his son Isaac. Amen. Well, to make a long story short, he abides for a little while and it comes down time for him to leave. Look over in verse number 55, if you will. The Bible said, and her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, look here now, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Amen. I won't try to preach tonight. Lord, help me for a little bit on looking for a bride. Amen. Looking for a bride. The eldest servant was on a mission. The eldest servant of a father's house was on a mission to find a bride for the master, the father's son, Isaac. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, there's another servant. The eldest servant of another father's house that is still looking this evening for a bride for the father's son. Amen. I'm glad to tell you tonight, the Holy Ghost of God, the eldest servant of the father's house, is still searching for a bride for the darling son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll give you about 3 points this evening and we'll be done. First of all, I want to look at the servant's job. And then we're going to look at the bride's journey. And then we're going to look at the joyful union. Amen. I got to thinking about that eldest servant's job. He was specifically given a job, a task to complete. Amen. Reminds me of another eldest servant. Over yonder, David called the eldest servant. He gave his name Ziba. And he came. Ziba came before the king and he asked him a question, said, is there anybody left of the house of Saul that I could show kindness to for Jonathan's sake? And he said, yep, there is one, Mephibosheth, and he's down yonder in the country of Lodabar. Well, the king gave that eldest servant a task and said, go fetch him. Amen. I like that, don't you? Good old country word. Go fetch him. That eldest servant went down to Lodabar and found the Mephibosheth and brought him back to the king's house. Amen. Well, the eldest servant, the Holy Ghost of God, is God's eldest servant. Somebody say amen right there. You say, well, preacher, I thought that was just one of the Trinity. Yeah, but that's the eldest servant of the master. Amen. The eldest servant of the father. And God has given him a specific task. Just like Abraham gave this eldest servant a specific task. Number one, his job was to search for a bride. Amen. He was given the specific job to search for a bride. Amen. So he leaves up yonder where Abraham is, over in the land of Canaan, and he goes to down to Mesopotamia. And I like what the Bible said, all the goods of his master was in his hand. What's he doing? He's searching for a bride.
God. Y'all heard me say where I was from. Just a little town down in North Carolina over in the western corner called Robbinsville. Brother Barry can tell you a little bit about it. Nobody just happens to pass through Robbinsville. Amen. If you're in Robbinsville, there's probably one or two, maybe three reasons you're there. Number one, you may be lost if you're in Robbinsville. Amen. Number two, you might be riding motorcycles if you happen to be in Robbinsville. There's that little road over yonder called the Dragon's Tail, and we got motorcycles coming from everywhere. Well, that's got us. I don't know if that might have us on the map. I don't know. But either, or maybe you're there to visit. But outside of those three things, nobody just comes to Robbinsville, and most of the time, nobody's even heard of Robbinsville. Amen. But thank God. There was one night in 1979, the Lord God of heaven and the eldest servant knew where Robbinsville was. Amen. It wasn't on a Sunday morning. It wasn't on a Sunday night. It wasn't even on a Wednesday night. But on a Thursday evening, he made his way to Robbinsville. You know what he was doing? He was searching for a bride. Amen. He found a little road up yonder called Harris Creek. That's where I was, and that's where my mamas lived, up on Harris Creek. I couldn't tell you how to get there from here if I had to, but I'm glad he knowed where it was. Amen. And he wasn't lost either. He was there for a reason. He was searching for a bride. About a mile up that road, maybe a little over a mile, there's a little old wooden house sitting on the side of the road. I rode my bicycle up there that night. Thank God they was having an old cottage prayer meeting at Mamaw's house. And the man of God stood that evening beside Mamaw's wood stove and preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I knelt down beside that wood stove that night. And the eldest servant of the Father's house found me. He searched for me. And he found me that night in Robbinsville, North Carolina. Listen, friend, God knows where Rogersville, Tennessee is as well. Amen. And I believe this with all of my heart. I don't doubt it a bit. I believe the eldest servant of the Father's house is here this evening. Amen. Say, what's he doing? Well, I no doubt he's helping some. He's encouraging others. But he's here for a purpose. He's searching for a bride. Amen. There may be somebody here this evening. He came just for you. What about that? You think he'd do that? Hey, listen, I don't know what all happened that night in 1979, but I don't believe anybody else was saved. I believe he came up there just for me. Amen. I believe he'd come all the way over here this evening just for you. His job was to search for a bride, but not only was he to search for the bride, it was his job then to speak to the bride. Amen. Yeah. He confronted her as she came out to draw water that evening. She was in about her normal routine. Amen. She was going about her own business. She was going out to draw water like she normally did. But lo and behold, she went out that evening. It was a little bit different. There was somebody out yonder to meet her. Amen. And he came running to her. And he approached her. And then he spoke to her. Amen. Thank God, friend, you may be here just minding your own business this evening. Just another revival meeting. Maybe somebody invited you over. Or maybe this is your home church. But it's just another meeting. But thank God, tonight, it might just be a little bit different. There may be somebody here this evening came just to meet you. Amen. And he's already run to where you're at. And thank God, he's already spoke to your heart. Amen. It was the eldest servant's job to speak to her. It was he that done the speaking. Thank God that night. I remember it well. Amen. I remember it. Thank God. I won't never forget it either. Yeah, I was just up there minding my own business. But then I heard the preacher say something. He got to preaching about being lost. Now, I really didn't understand what that was all about. But I made the statement. I said, well, I'm lost. Well, one of my cousins heard that and pulled me over to the side. He began to explain to me what it was to be lost. Amen. And then the eldest servant of the Father's house, he went beyond what my cousin said. And he spoke to me. Amen. And he confirmed it in my heart that I was lost. Amen. Thank God. Then he told me what I could do about it. I went in yonder and knelt down beside that old wood stove. I'll never forget when the Holy Ghost of God spoke to my heart. I don't know if he spoke to anybody else, but he spoke to my heart. And thank God he's here this evening and he speaks to your heart. Let me say this, it's one of the best things that could ever happen to you, that the Lord God of heaven would send his eldest servant to where you're at to speak to you. Amen.
Yes.
It was his job to search for the bride. It was his job to speak to the bride. If you don't get nothing else I'm saying that, I want you to get a hold of this one. It was his job then to secure the bride. I mean, he went home with her. How'd you like that?
Yeah, he did.
Some of y'all know what that's like.
Oh, the grace of God.
When he showed up and he began to speak,
you never had to say
he went on home.
It's by the grace.
Amen.
Of God.
Yeah, you didn't say nothing at first. Yeah. You didn't agree to nothing at first. But lo and behold, he went home with you. Yeah. Amen. That's what he did. He went home with her. Got over yonder while she's at home. And the question was asked, wilt thou go with this man? It was late on her. Her brothers wouldn't make up their mind for her. Her mother couldn't make up her mind for her. The question was presented to her as an individual, wilt thou go with this man? When she said, I will go, it became the eldest servant's responsibility to get her from where she was to where the groom is. Amen. She didn't know the way. She didn't know how to get there. She didn't know what to do. So it was 100% up to the eldest servant to get her from where she was over to her bridegroom. Amen. Somebody's going to get a hold of that here in a few minutes. I believe it with all of my heart. Listen, friend, that night in 1979, I didn't know nothing. And I still don't know much. But I do know this. It's not my responsibility to get me from where I am to meet the bridegroom. Amen. Man, I don't know the way. I don't know what's between here and yonder. So it's all resting upon him to see to it that I make it from where I am right now to get to the bridegroom. Hallelujah. Thank God. It ain't up to me. I don't have to keep myself. I don't have to worry about working my way through. I'm glad it's all up to him. If I make it, it's going to be because he gets me there. Amen. If it was up to me, I'd already fell out a long time ago. But thank God, it's not up to me, it's up to him. Somebody said, are we going to make it? I tell you what, it's God's responsibility to see to it that we do make it. If we don't make it, and we are his, it's not our fault. It's all laid upon him. It's his responsibility. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not keeping myself. Amen. If I'm going to make it, he's going to get me there. And I promise you this, you can rest well tonight. If you're his, he ain't lost one yet. And he's not going to start with you. Amen. Wouldn't that have been bad? If Rebecca said she would go, and then something happened along the way, and the eldest servant shows up before Abraham, and Abraham said, well, where's the bride at? He said, well, something happened, and she didn't make it. You know who would have been in trouble?
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been Rebecca. It had been the eldest servant's fault because Rebecca didn't make the trip. Thank God, friend. We ain't got nothing to worry about tonight. Hey, I don't know what the economy's going to do. I don't know what our government's going to do. I don't even know what our churches are going to do. But I do know this. I'm going to make it. Hey, I'm telling you, friend, I'm going to make it. Thank God. It ain't up to me and it ain't up to you. We are going to make it. Amen. Thank God it ain't up to me. It's all His job. It's up to Him to secure us. It's up to Him to see to it that we get from where we are to where He is. Amen. A lot of responsibility laying on Him. Ain't that good? I'd say there's time too. Rebecca may have got before she thought she knew better. Well, wait, where you taking me? This path over here looks better. This is downhill over here, and it looks a little bit smoother. Where you're taking me looks awful rocky and rugged, and I think we ought to go this way. That old eldest servant said, it ain't up to you. It's up to me. And if we don't get to where we're going, it's going to be my fault. You need to stick with me. Amen. We just need to stick with Him. That's the servant's job. Boy, I got to think about then that journey. When she said, I will go, they struck out on a journey. On a path that she'd never traveled before. To meet a man that she'd never seen before. My. Got to think about that journey. That journey. Number one, it just goes along with what we just said. Number one, it was a guided journey. Yeah. Amen. She didn't know the way. So it's His job then to guide her. Amen. Guided her. Yeah. Boy, we need to follow His direction. Because He knows where we're going. Right. And He knows how to get there. Amen. Whether the way seems bleak to you or not, you just need to follow Him. Because He knows how to get us where we need to be. Amen. It's a guided journey. A lot more I can say. I've got one. I'm going to go on. It was a guided journey. I want to show you this. I believe it was a gifted journey. What do you mean, preacher? Well, we already saw where all the goods of his master was in his hand. Well, when he met her down yonder by the well, you know what he did? Some of the goods of his master that was in his hand had a little sack. Let me show you a couple of verses here right quick. It was a gifted journey. Verse number 22. Bible said, and it came to pass as the camels had done drinking. This was right after she watered them. When they were done drinking, the man took a golden earring of a half a shekel of weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold and said, whose daughter art thou? He reached down in that bag and pulls out these earrings and bracelets and gives them to her way before she ever even said she'd go. What about that? Yeah. This wasn't the last time that he'd done that. Right. Look over with me, if you would, in verse number 53. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. She didn't even said she'd go yet. And over yonder at the well, he's reached down into that bag and he pulled out some precious things. He gets over there and he's at home with her. He reaches down in that bag and pulls out some other things and gives to her. I like this. I don't know if you like it. Reached down in there and gave her brother something. Gave her mother some precious things. Yeah. Best day ever happened to me was in 1979 when I got saved. But running a close second, close third, close fourth was when my children got saved. Amen. Thank God, I know what he done for them. But in the meantime, he just reached down in there and he gave me a little something too. Amen. Thank God, I'm telling you, friend. Now, when they got out on that journey and started headed down that rough road, I no doubt it got to be some hard times, probably some long nights. I may even run into a storm or two along the way. It's not recorded that he reached down in there and gave her anything else. Don't look for it. You won't find it. But you're going to have a hard time convincing me he was through with the bag.
Yeah, brother.
You're going to have a hard time convincing me that he ran out.
Yes.
I believe this all my heart. There's a time or two he probably looked over at Rebecca and there's a tear running down her face. A little bit weary from the journey. Missing mama. Amen. Going through a hard valley. I believe there's a time or two he just reached down in that bag. He'd pull something else out. And he'd look over at her and say, honey, here's something just a little bit to get you on through. Because there's more yet to come. Amen. Oh, how do you know, preacher? Because I know how it is on my journey. They've been too many times. It seemed like when I got down to my lowest point, it seemed like when I thought my world was crashing in around me, it seemed like when I couldn't make it another mile, he always seems to reach down into that bag and pull something else out for me to help me to get on through, to help me go another mile, to help me get through another leg of the journey. Thank God I don't know where yet tonight. But no doubt there's some folk in here that's been on the journey for a while. And there's some that's getting weary. And you're going through a storm. And you're facing a trial. Hey, friend, I believe with all of my heart, he's got something for you this evening. He'll reach down in the Holy Ghost bag and pull you out a precious jewel. And he'll say it's just a taste of things to come. Just hang on a little bit longer. Hey, thank God I'm glad he's got a bag for us. Amen. Amen. It's a gifted journey. They stuff in that bag we ain't even seen yet. And my soul, if it's good in the bag, wait till we get over yonder. I'd say, he said every now and then, honey, the best is yet to come. Amen. It was a gifted journey. It's a guided journey. I believe this, I believe it's a graceful journey. Now, I don't mean graceful as a ballerina. I'm talking about full of grace. Amen. I'm sure y'all have heard those camels preached on before. But I spent some time over in the desert. And I saw them firsthand. And spent some time around them. You're talking about a unique creature. And that camel is what they're riding on. They're traveling on camelback. 10 camels of his master. That's how they're journeying from her house to see the bridegroom. Well, y'all ever seen a camel? You don't mount them things like we do an old mule or a horse around here. They bigger than that. You know how you get on? They have to get down on your level so you can get up on their level. Amen? So when, man, she says, I'll go. She may have grabbed a few things or whatever. She's kissed mama bye and she's hugged the rest of them bye. And she goes out and she sees these camels. And she says, how do I get up? He says, you don't get up, they get down. They have a little stick, it's almost like a little whip. Most of them did. And when it's time to get on board, they'll pat them things on the back with that little whip. And that camel, very slowly, very gently, he starts getting down on his knees. And he gets down and he goes all the way down, bends over so they could get on board. The grace of God. I said it's grace. The grace of God had to get down where we was so we could get up to where he is. Amen.
God designed those knees on a camel in such a way. I'm talking about big old pads on them knees. There's no terrain too rough that a camel can't get down on its knees. The rocks, sharp rocks, whatever it is, no terrain is too rough for the grace of God to get down low enough to get you on board. Amen. Thank God. Boy, I'll never forget this as long as I lived. We was going down the road over yonder in Saudi Arabia, and I seen the strangest thing coming after us. I was an M60 gunner, rode up in the turret, so I had bird's eye view. We seen something headed our way. I thought, what in the world is this? I thought, man, the Iraqis have got some kind of new weapon and we in trouble. Strange thing headed our way. That thing started getting closer and it started picking out a few details and figuring out what it was. Now, when we was over there, those Arabs only had three different kinds of vehicles. That's all there was. Never seen any other type. It's Volvo tractor and trailers, Mercedes cars, and Datsun pickups. It's all we've seen. Didn't see nothing else. And I'll never forget this. One of them little Datsun pickups was coming up the road with something big sticking up out of the back of that thing. I thought, what in the world? They had gotten one of them camels on the back of that little Datsun pickup. And that thing had gotten down on its knees, sitting on the back of the truck, and its head was way up over the cab. Just looking around. I thought, man, if that camel can get down in the back of a Datsun pickup, that thing can get down anywhere. Amen? Thank God I found it to be true. The grace of God can get down anywhere. Amen. I'm talking about from a ditch where the drunkards are lying. It don't matter where it may be. But the grace of God can get down to where you are so that you can get to where He is. God designed them knees just for the purpose. Got to looking at them hoofs. God designed the camel's hoof. They're very wide and rounded down at the bottom and flat. How can anybody even study animal life believe that there's no God? God designed that. Perfect design, the plan of God. Those hoofs are designed to where they can walk upon any kind of terrain there is. They just travel on any kind of terrain, especially desert land. God designed them for it. You take an old Tennessee mule or a horse from the mountains up in here in Tennessee, put one of them over yonder in the desert and see if they can go over a sand dune. They'll never make it. They'll bury themselves with the hoofs that they have. They can't get through that terrain. But that camel can.
Yeah.
Just right on top. Don't sink down. Don't mire up. Just stays right on top of the train. It's the grace of God that gets us through all different kind of terrain that we have to travel through. Amen. Don't matter how rough it is, the grace of God just keeps gliding right on through. Amen. You'll look ahead and say, we'll never make it through that. But it's the grace of God that keeps getting you through every time. Amen. My. God designed that way. Camel's eyes. Y'all have heard about the eagles. God, how God give them eyes where there's a protective covering and they can start soaring toward the sun. You've heard that before. God designed them camel eyes specially too.
Yes, sir.
I'll never forget this as long as I live. Christmas Eve, 1990, had the worst sandstorm we had ever seen. I mean, sandstorms blowed up quite often. But this one was by far the worst one that we've seen the whole time we were over there. I had duty that day of escorting Bob Hope in. He came over to speak to the troops. I didn't even get to see him. I seen the vehicle he was in, but we was escorting him. And I was in the lead vehicle. We had a vehicle in the middle and had one in the rear. And we had a convoy escorting him in. And we was having a drive about 10 to 15 miles an hour because of the sandstorm. I was up in the 60 turret. I had goggles on. I had bandanas over my face. You name it, we was trying to cover up everything because sand was getting everywhere. Our weapons was full of sand. I mean, I'm talking about in the chambers, in the barrels. Sand was everywhere. Sand was in my teeth. Sand was in my ears. You name it, it was there. Blowing, just blowing. Barely could go, trying to get him through. I happened to look over from that turret, and I seen an old Bedouin tribe with a bunch of camels traveling on the side of the four lane. And them camels had no problem whatsoever because God designed their eyes that's got a protective covering. And that sand beat in their eyes, and it never even flinched. They just kept on traveling. The grace of God will get you through whatever storm that comes your way. The grace of God will get you through it. Some of you facing one tonight. I don't know how bad it is, how big it is, but I know somebody's in a storm. You've questioned. You've questioned why, and you've questioned if, whether or not you're going to make it. Friend, it's the grace of God. If it's in your own strength, forget it. You won't make it. But the grace of God's going to get you through. You keep trusting. Hold on for dear life. God's grace is going to see you through. Amen. I promise you, He's never failed yet. Amen. He's never let one slide off yet. The grace of God's going to get you through. Amen. I promise you. God designed their nose special.
Yep.
Sure did. God gave them a nose to smell water. What about that? Now, you ain't supposed to be able to smell water. Somebody said, "Preacher, I can smell mine. You got troubles." Ain't that right? There's something wrong somewhere. I know we get some sulfur in ours. We gotta have to keep a filter system on it. You ain't supposed to be able to smell it, but a camel can. It's amazing. They can smell water from a good ways away. And they could, I'm talking about in the middle of the desert now. You can go for miles and never see any kind of water. And they can get out there in the middle of nowhere. And them old Bedouins will let them lead. They won't try to guide them. They'll let them guide.
Yes, sir.
Because they know that camel is going to take them to where water is. We got over there, and we was literally in the middle of nowhere. We got lost. We got out there in the middle of nowhere, and we found an old Bedouin well. Amazing thing. What a huge opening up here at the top. And they had seven little troughs built out of rock all the way around that well. And it'd be about 5 feet, and there'd be a rock standing up, and there'd be little holes cut out in the bottom of that rock. About 5 feet more, there'd be another rock, and little bitty holes cut out in the bottom of that rock. They's filtering their water is what they's doing. They get out, they pour it up top, it'd run down them rocks, and when it get down there to the bottom of them, I guess you'd have halfway decently clean water. Inside of that well, there was grooves. It was rock sides, and they'd be 7-8 inch cuts in that rock where they pulled up the ropes or the buckets on the side. I thought, man, this thing got to be thousands of years old. And I said, there can't be no water in it. I found me a little rock. And I walked over to it, and I dropped that rock. And I heard it bounce off the side of them other rocks on the way down. In a few minutes, I heard, whoosh, it hit water.
Yeah.
No telling how long that thing been there. We started leaving, and as we was leaving, sure enough, here come a band of Bedouins letting their camels lead the way. They was going to the well. Oh my.
Yeah,
boy, it sure does get dry, don't it?
Yeah.
You ever get a little thirsty? I'm talking about spiritually now.
Spiritually, yeah.
Get dry, we get thirsty. Boy, if you'll let him lead you, he'll take you to a well. Just let him lead. He knows the way. He knows where it's at. You'll be thinking, my soul, there ain't nothing out this way. There ain't nowhere. Where in the world is he taking me now? I promise you, over the next horizon, sure enough, in the middle of nowhere, he'll find you a well. Thank God, I'm glad the grace of God knows how to find the well. Amen. Somebody, no doubt this week you've been thirsty. But you know what God's done? He's let the grace of God lead us to a well this week. I don't know about you, but I've been getting a drink this week. And I'm glad the grace of God has led me here to give me a drink in a dry and desert land that we're traveling through. I was needing it, preacher. I bless his name. Boy, thank God for this. He's letting me get a drink this week. The grace of God led us here. How many of you thought that hump in their back was water? It's not. I thought for years that big old hump in their back, that's where they stored their water. That's not it. That's just all fatty tissue and cartilage. But God did design a storage system within the camel. Inside that stomach of a camel is several sacks. And when they get to a watering place, they'll drink and they'll drink and they'll drink. We first got over there, the first thing they issued us was bottled water. I'm not talking about what you get at Walmart. I'm talking about big old 2-liter bottled water. And they said, we don't want to see you without a bottle of water. First 2 or 3 weeks. See, our bodies had to get adjusted to that desert, that climate. And they wanted us to drink water constantly. We had some of them bottles, and some camels came up to our camp. And I pulled out 2 or 3 of them bottles, and I walked over one of them camels, and I didn't know what to do. I was going to see if I could get it to drink. I took a lid off that bottle, and I put it up that camel's lips, and when he figured out what it was and noted it was water, that thing sucked that bottle dry. 2-liter bottle. I was like, wait. I said, pitch me another one of them. They pitched me another bottle. I opened it up, and I put it up to its lips, and that thing drunk it dry. And I said, I ain't giving you no more. I got to have the rest. It filled up. The reason they do that, when they get about halfway across the desert and there ain't no watering hole, there ain't no well, they'll cause a little contraction within their stomach to pop one of those sacks, and it's drinking from a fountain that nobody else can see.
Amen. Yeah, drink it on the inside.
Go over to the nursing home sometime. Find that dear old saint that's been laying there for a while. Can't go to church no more. Nobody hardly comes and sees them no more. All you got to do is just mention something about Jesus. I went in one time, this little old saint, I walked in on her, and I didn't even hardly know her too well, and she didn't really know me, but we had a common ground. We got to talking about Jesus. And she started singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. And that old voice that was breaking and cracking. Boy, it wasn't long. That dear old thing she got to drinking from a fountain that I couldn't see. Amen. She was a worshiping the Lord, and she was praising him. I'm glad the grace of God will let us drink from a fountain within that nobody else can see. Amen. Something built in, thank God. I'm glad that the grace of God knows exactly what we need and when we need it. It's a guided journey.
Yeah.
It's a gifted journey. It's a graceful journey. But you know, that journey finally come to an end. I want you to notice something here. There's not a whole lot said about the journey. She says, I will go in verse number 55.
Well, that's a good point, brother.
Verse number 61. Rebecca arose and her damsels, and they rode upon camels. They leave in verse 61. Verse 62, verse 63, verse 64, she arrives.
that's good.
What about that? They just ain't much. I was like, boy, I wish there's more about that journey. I wish there's just some more about we could dig out about that journey. I'd like to help people. Boy, I found the help right there. Journey ain't going to seem like nothing. The highlights is when we said we'd go and then when we get there. That's the highlights. Oh yeah, the journey may seem long now. It may seem hard now. But here in just a little while, and I don't think it's going to be too much longer, that we're going to reach verse number 64. Amen. Thank God we're going to be just traveling along like we seem like we've done for a while. And we're going to say, how is it much farther? That old servant's going to say, well, it ain't too far now. We go a few more miles. We think, well, I just don't know. Is it much farther? He said, no, it ain't going to be too much farther now. Just another mile or two. Just another corner. Just another mountain or two. We're going to be there in a little while. Just keep hanging on. But then that day is finally going to come.
Amen.
Look here what it said, verse 64. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. Oh, let me back up just a little bit. Verse 63. Isaac went out to meditate in the field at evening tide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming.
Here comes grace.
My. And then verse 64. Rebekah lifts up her eyes. Here in just a little while. Oh, you weary. You tired. You don't know how much more you could endure. You don't know what else you're going to have to face. But lo and behold, we're going to lift up our eyes.
Yeah. Hey, see our heavenly eyes. Glory to God.
What a day. The songwriter got it right, church. What a day that will be.
Amen.
When my Jesus, amen, I shall see. Just like that. Let me show you what happened. She lifted up her eyes, paid close attention. Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel.
Yeah.
I don't find where the servant had to say, that's him.
Yeah.
He didn't say, there she is, or there he is.
Right.
She just happened to lift up her eyes. And she beheld him. She ain't never seen him before.
Yeah.
You know what I think? I think that eldest servant, throughout the journey, kept telling her about him. And then when it come time she saw him, she didn't even need to be introduced. The eldest servant's always going to make it about him.
Yes, sir.
I don't think there was one time that elder servant ever told her about himself. I believe all the conversations was always about him. And then notice she lighted off her camel. I'm not very smart, but I got this picture in my mind. I believe she pulled one of them old cowboy moves. She didn't wait for that thing to get down and let her off. I believe she just one good push backwards, and she came off of that thing. Amen. That's what it sounds like to me. She saw him and she lighted off the camel. Sounds like a little bit of excitement in there, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Oh, church. 1 Thessalonians 4, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. One of these days we're going to be going about our regular routine, and I believe it's going to be real soon, church. Oh, it could be any day. It could be before the night's over. We
with. There may be a shout from heaven. That trumpet may sound. The dead in Christ are going. Y'all believe this, don't you? Amen. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. And I believe with all of my heart, I'm going to be in that crowd that's alive and remaining. And in a moment, and in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be called out of here, thank God. And we're going to light off grace. We ain't going to need grace no more. Amen. We'll part grace because we'll have the Son. Amen. We're going to see the bridegroom. Nobody's going to have to introduce him and point him out and say, that's him. No, friend, I believe we'll know him when we see him. Amen. No, what a day that's going to be when we finally behold him. I'm talking about the one that went to Calvary, the one that gave his life so you wouldn't have to go to hell. Ain't it going to be good when we finally get to see him?
Yeah.
My, what a day. The journey's going to seem like nothing.
Amen.
Preacher, I can't wait to get up there. I'm going to ask God why this. And I'm going to find out why that. No.
Not much said about the journey.
No.
Amen.
You won't need to know why. You won't worry about why. You'll just be basking in the presence of the Son. Ain't it good? I'm just glad I'm on the journey, ain't you? Thank God for my journey. I wouldn't take nothing for it. Sure, I'm glad as a 9-year-old boy I told him I'd go. I'm gonna be honest, it's been rough a few times. Journey's led me in some places I wished I hadn't went. Been over to doctor's offices and hospital rooms. I've had to go in that room, that cold room in the back of the funeral home. You know which one? That one where you go back yonder and you pick out the caskets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to go through there. Journey takes you through there sometimes. Some rough places. The funeral services. It's led me over to the graveside a few times. I've had to say goodbye. Been a lot of rough areas. But thank God one look at him. And you'll have no regrets. And I promise you'll say, it's been worth it all when we finally get to see him. I believe the eldest servant of the Father's house is here tonight.
Hey.
I believe he is. Some of you have done heard him speak. You know what he's done? I just know how he is. He's reached down into that bag tonight, hasn't he? He pulled something out for somebody. I don't know who. I don't know exactly what it was, but he pulled something out for somebody. Somebody was needing something. He pulled something out for somebody. Just doing his job. Going to see to it you make it. I'm going to be honest with you. I think that he tried every way in the world to make it as enjoyable as he could.
No doubt. Yes, sir.
I mean, she was his responsibility. And he wanted her to enjoy the trip as best as possible. I believe he wants us to enjoy it as best as possible. But I also believe he's here tonight for another reason. I believe it. You're going to have a hard time convincing me otherwise. But I believe he's here speaking to somebody.
Yeah, yes.
He's here tonight on your behalf. Came to Rogersville, Tennessee. Maybe just for you. What an honor.
Yes.
He desires you be a part of the bride. He wants you. Already loves you. And he's here just for you.
Yes.
Heads bowed and eyes closed. Yes.